You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Another edition of the Stardom Road podcast here on the Countout Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Scott Edwards. We are back after a few week hiatus because maybe someone went on vacation and then was also sick. So my apologies. Didn't even hide
it's
that.
Crazy because normally the someone's gone on vacation would normally
and
be
sick. And sick. Yeah. You did both as well earlier this year.
Yeah, but the difference is I've been here when I've been sick. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. Sorry. I'm not going
to
explain.
You were I've been sick. You were sick.
Yeah.
There's layers to this. So
I was I'm not
legitimately
moving.
You wouldn't have been able to record. There's a difference.
It got worse. I stupid. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm with Trent, of course. Trent, welcome to the show. We'll do our usual how you doing, Trent, in a second. But I want to explain to the people why we missed a week. I was on vacation and we were like, oh, okay, we'll record right as I get back because it's like, why prepare? You know, why do it ahead of time when we could just do it the day or two before, as we always do, which we are doing literally today. why would we? So I get back. I'm sick as a dog. The first day I recorded Ring Post Radio, like an idiot, was dead. But that was during the day. The difference is me and Trent record at nighttime for me. Yeah. When you're sick at night, at least for me, I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not moving. So I apologize. But we made sure to come back with a big episode, a humongous, exciting episode. And that, of course, is Io Shirai versus Mayu Iwatani. You probably know where this story goes, the main story of these two. We're not going to go through the entire history of them. We're not going to break down every little part of Thunder Rock. That's another episode idea. We're not taking that, we're doing that another time. But we are going to talk about that 1 year period of rivalry that they especially had, of course, that ended with the big double title match. But Trent, welcome to the show. How the hell are you?
I'm better than you. Yeah, I know you're feeling better. That's why we're here and we're able to record. But I'm doing well. Things are going well. Like in the world of wrestling, because I consider that sport. Yeah, in the world of sport, I'm doing well. Because at the time of we're recording, we've just been watching the NBA basketball. Boston Celtics are through to the NBA finals. Even though I'm not in America, I'm a Boston Celtics fan. So I'm happy.
Big win.
The Formula One Grand Prix this weekend was in Monaco. Charles Leclerc, my favorite driver, he won. My second favorite driver, the Australian Oscar Piastri, he came second. So I'm in a really good sporting mood. Like things are going well for me. I feel like I need to pick up a new sport and pick a favorite. So if you want me to follow a baseball team or a hockey
How's
team,
your favorite wrestler
get into my DMs, tell me a team to follow because now's the time for me to get on board. Your team will win.
So is your favorite wrestler's doing well? Like I know Mai's doing well, obviously, but
Mai's doing well. She's a champion. A lot of my favorite wrestlers are retired right now. Itami's doing well, not in stardom.
Yes, but we did see Jungle. We did see Jungle Kiona on the Hana show, as a firefighter or something. That was nice.
Yeah, she's doing firefighting in Nagoya, her hometown, and she was able to climb a mountain in honor of Hana Kimura, which she wasn't able to do. So, slow progress with her knee. So things are going well. Hameka's becoming a referee for one night only. Things are on the up and up in the world of Trent-centric favorites.
And
back. She was injured. She's back.
And Mariah has momentum again. All is well in the world of Trent.
Yes.
For me, I am also a Celtics fan, so that's nice. That is nice life here. Mayu's champion. That's been that way. Sarri.
Godzilla dominating.
Sarri is calling herself the Ace of Marigold and has a target on her back the size of
Godzilla.
besides Bozilla. Actually, no, Bozilla's the only one that likes her on the roster, so that's nice. That worked out.
For now.
The super team of Sari and Bozilla is working out, so things are going okay there. But let's just get to the show, shall we? We are talking about something very special today. Like I said, Io Shirai versus Mayu Iwatani. For many, this is how many got into Stardom, this rivalry, whether it been years after this rivalry happened, whether it been when the rivalry was happening itself, you know, it could be even now. This is the rivalry that stands the test of time in Stardom history. It is the most important rivalry in the company's history. It is, of course, if you made a Mount Rushmore of Stardom, this is 1 and 2. That's how important this is. So
happy those two are non-negotiable. I did an article ages ago with Ryan, owner of Rezora, and we did like the Mount Rushmore of Stardom. The 1 and 2 were non-negotiables, EO and Maya, and we debated the other two, but you couldn't debate those two.
Right, and that should say all you need to know. So Trent will be taking the lead because Trent wrote a wonderful article over on Wrestle In Once Upon a Time for this exact story, so it's only right that he did all the studying to write that, so, you know, obviously I've seen the matches, obviously I've watched the matches, I watched the rivalry, but I know that Trent can lead us through, and I will piggyback on what he is, you know, bringing up. So this should be a lot of fun. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Trent, over to you.
So as you kind of mentioned, like, we're not going to go too deep into the history of Thunder Rock because, like, that's a whole other episode. And, like, both of these two wrestlers have such a deep history into both of, you know, their time in Stardom, and that's, like, multiple episodes. And we only have one episode to cover the rivalry, but for people who maybe aren't fully aware of the time, then, like, if you are an Io Shirai fan as Io Sky in WWE, or you've come into Stardom in the past few years and got to know Mayu, but you don't really know the full story, I think it's important just to give a little bit of background information as to where these two kind of came into prominence within Stardom. So obviously, Mayu's been there from the beginning. Io Shirai came in very, very early on. She was basically there within the first year and established herself within that first year as, if not the big star to come within Stardom, as one of the heirs to the throne. You know, once the old hand had kind of established what was going to be in Stardom, she was going to be taking the reins very early on. She was really the first of the next generation to win the top championship, which happened in 2013 at Rigoku Hall. Very fittingly, Shizuki Aikawa was leaving the company, who was the original ace of the company, the one that they were going to be building around, the white belt champion who never lost the title. Went the very night that she was leaving Stardom, Io Shirai won the red belt. She won it from Alpha Female, who was a transitional champion. But that was kind of cementing, like, Io Shirai was going to be the person to lead Stardom forward, the true, like, top star to be. By that time, like, her and Mayu had started to work together a little bit. Thunder Rock wasn't, like, they'd been named. They weren't really the team we would know and love yet, but they'd started to work together a little bit.
Yeah, I always like to talk about these two as Io was the second longest reigning ace of Stardom's history. Of course, Mayu's first, you know, Mayu's still rolling on along, but, you know, Io's importance to this company should, you know, it kind of goes without saying. Obviously, her importance actually still lasts to today. You know, when people see Io Sky, of course, in WWE, people say, oh, well, you know, where'd she come from? I am one of to do that. That is how I got into Joshi, is Io Shirai. She was Io Shirai at the time, so I'm always going to call her Io Shirai. And, you know, she and Mayu were in many ways, you know, two-thirds of Threedom, obviously, but pretty much like treated as like the daughters of course, Rossi Ogawa, right? They're not actually the kids of Rossi, but they were. And these two, of course, led Stardom to new heights that maybe were never imaginable at one time. And it's with Io's title reigns, of course, with the World of Stardom Championships specifically, that helped bring Stardom to prominence and ultimately helped bring Mayu Iwatani to prominence through this very rivalry that we're going to talk about. They had countless incredible matches, some of the greatest matches in history of pro wrestling, I'd argue. And of course, that is where we go today. It, like you said, Thunder Rock was there in name at the start, not necessarily the incredible tag team that they'd go on to become soon after. But seeing Io when she first became world champion compared to where Mayu was at the time is always a fun thing to look back, because, you know, Mayu was still climbing the ranks and figuring out who she was as a wrestler, while Io was getting that first chance at running the company essentially as the ace. But, you know, as we saw even recently, you know, when Mayu made it back to America, these two are still as close as can be. And it's always lovely to kind of go back and re-watch and revisit this rivalry, because like I said, it's the most important in this company's history.
Absolutely. And you make it, it's an important point you make there, where like where Mayu was in relation to Io Shirai. Because when we're talking about especially the rivalry that we're going to really be covering, that difference in ability and where the standing is in the company really drives that story forward. In these first few years, obviously Io had a couple of years head start in pro wrestling compared to Mayu. But Mayu took a few years to really find herself as a pro wrestler. Io Shirai was better, quicker. And, you know, by the time she won the red belt, Mayu Iwatani was still very much on the up and up, still finding her way. She won her first championship, which was the Artist of Stardom Championship, while Io was in the middle of her red belt run. And Thunder Rock, you know, they were here and there, thereabouts, but they didn't really start to click fully until I would say after Io Shirai dropped the red belt, because she was busy with that championship. You know, when you're the top champion, you've got to focus in on that. Mayu Iwatani was kind of growing in other ways, and they would team together a few times. They were obviously a part of Team Planet for a while, which also featured channel favorite Arisa Hoshiki. They would team together as part of the Heisaigun team, which featured Yoshiko. Also would feature very, very young Hazuki, who obviously at that time was going by the name of Reo Hazuki, and obviously Takumi Iroha, who is another favorite amongst ours as well, won the artist titles with them as well. But as we're getting through here, you know, Io, she's established herself. She's one of the top stars. 2015 hits. We haven't covered it really on the show yet. It's one of those things where we're kicking the bottle, the can down the road as far as we can. The incident with Act and Yoshiko changes the landscape of Stardom completely. And then the onus gets onto the three daughters of Stardom, Io Shirai, Mayu Iwatani, Kari Hojo. They have to really step up and lead Stardom forward. And 2015 really is when they do it. You know, Mayu Iwatani gets a big break, really. This is when she does, when she wins the Cinderella tournament. Kari Hojo wins the World of Stardom Championship, which then she loses to Miko, which then Io Shirai wins. That in of itself, we've talked about that a bit with Miko Satomura's year with Stardom and what that did for the company, which all sets up 2016, which is what we're really diving into today.
Yes, 2016, one of the most important years, obviously, in Stardom's history, kicking off the very prestigious rivalry between these two. You know, you think back to the importance of Threedom at the time, which is, of course, a conversation we've had on the Mako Satomura shows that you can check out anytime here on the podcast feed. And how important it was to kind of tell that story in that match that Io has with Mako, of course, again, one of the best in Stardom's history. And she channels her Threedom sisters with the each of their moves within that match to put away Mako. And the rivalry that we get to here today, you know, you see them start as the friendly duo, and by the end, they are no longer friends. It is a full-on rivalry as Io looks at Mayu beneath her. And that's when you watch within this feud, Mayu reach Io Shirai's level. And from that point, Mayu never leaves that level again. She only continues to go up. She only continues to get better. She only continues to prove she is the icon of Stardom. Without this rivalry, without these important matches, we don't get there. And that's the beauty of going back and reliving this rivalry, especially for, you know, us two, you know, two people who obviously love everything Mayu has done, this is as important as it gets in her career. It's the story that I always look to, right? And with Mayu in Stardom, now you look at feuds with, say, Tam Nakano, Starlight Kid, and you look at them and you kind of see comparisons to the EO story that Mayu felt and how they are trying to overcome Mayu. And that's the beauty of the long-term storytelling that really is Mayu Iwatani's career. And that's why I think everyone, if you have gotten to Stardom past 2 years, if you got into Stardom a decade ago and you know this story, if you got into Stardom literally today, this is the story you want to know from its history, I think, more than anything else. This is the one-year run, the one-year rivalry that you need to know, and it's the best way to get into Stardom completely, I think, if you want to experience Stardom storytelling, right? There's always matches. You can always pick and choose matches, which this feud has. You will pick and choose a match from this very easily, but there's something about knowing the story, witnessing the story, and seeing the culmination of it that really gives you the Stardom experience.
This basically tells the Stardom storytelling in a nutshell, because all three primary matches that we're looking at, all three singles matches, tell a story in of itself. You can watch each singular match in a vacuum, and the match will tell a story that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can take a step back and look at the entire story over the year, year and a half that this story takes place, and it all makes sense. It's all a logical flowing story. That's something Stardom does do very well. When you follow the Stardom, either tell single stories really well or they do long stories really well. It's kind of the midterm storytelling they often struggle with. But whenever you look, like you look at Utami versus Shuri, or the long, long, like Mayu and Starlight Kid, Mayu and Tam Nakano that you kind of reference, they do that really well because it feels like they take a step back and go, how can we really do this properly?
Well, they did do it really well.
Yeah. So when you take that step back and you look at these three matches, Mayu and Shuri, it all just clicks into place perfectly. To follow up properly, you kind of need to, you don't need to go to the Cinderella tournament in 2016, but that's where it kind of begins. Mayu wins the Cinderella tournament for the second straight year. She decides to challenge for the red belt, which, obviously the champion at this time is Io Shirai. And Io's a little bit cocky about it, but she gets it. It's like, let's see what you got. Let's have a bit of fun with this. They have fought previously. It's actually like, considering their difference in levels, it's actually been a closer, one-on-one battle than you would expect. They fought in the five-star Grand Prix earlier to a time limit draw. Yeah, it's not Io running away with it as you might expect. But Mayu has never really proven herself on the main event stage yet. This May Gold match, which to give you the official date so you can go and find it if you haven't watched it yet, it is May 15th, 2016, also known as Stardom Gold May. This is on Stardom World, so be sure to check it out if you haven't seen it. This is one of the first matches I remember seeing in Stardom, and it just completely blew me away because it is so unlike any sort of women's wrestling I'd really seen at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a brilliantly executed match. And even before, when I came into Stardom, I thought Mayu was instantly became my favorite wrestler of the three. I picked up that maybe she was treated as the third of the threedom, but I just watching this match, it made me appreciate how they presented her as the underdog to Io Shirai. But it's not necessary because she is just not as good. It's just she wasn't at that level yet in kayfabe. Mm-hmm. They did such a good job of presenting that without making her look inferior. It's just brilliantly done. Io Shirai plays her role to perfection. And you can tell that they've been looking forward to this position for a long time. They've been looking forward to being able to just go out there and kind of just like, let's go out there and just put on the best match we can possibly have. Io Shirai is coming off really a match of the year just a few months prior against Minko Satomura, December 2015, which I think a lot of people still point to as if you want Stardom's all-time best matches, that's still on the shortlist. And then they put on, for me, another one that you would put on their shortlist here in the May Gold Classic, as I consider it.
Yeah, you go to this first match, and it's the building block to the remainder you know, the other two matches. The second match obviously goes down in history as maybe Stardom's greatest match ever. At least it's in the debate. But, you know, the other two, starting with this one, deserve their own respect because, again, you have a better appreciation for these matches, especially if you're going back to watch them. You know, maybe you hadn't watched it in real time or near real time. If you go back and watch them in order, you have a better appreciation, I think, each match in a row. You see the growth of Mayu through each match, mm-hmm. right? This match, it's not, like you said, it's not that she's underqualified. It's just she hasn't got there yet. She hasn't figured out how to best Io Shirai. Io Shirai is just a step above her, and you are seeing her learn within this first match, where am I not clicking? Like, where do I need to be at her best? Because I know I have it in me. It's a matter of, can I get to that level? And that's the beauty of these three matches. It's why I love watching. Like, if I watch this one, I have to then watch the other two in short order, yep. or it's like I'm missing the greatness of this entire series. You know, you watch rivalries in wrestling, and I don't know if there's a trilogy of matches in a year span besides. Actually, no, I'm going to stay with that, that tell the story to perfection, right? Because even like Omega and Okada, that took longer than a year, right? You had multiple matches to get to that culmination. This one perfectly tells the story in three, and it all starts with, like you said, Gold May, a match you should go check out. If you're wondering, and I want to do this because I feel like it's, you know, people love their match ratings, people love things like that. This is Mayu's seventh best match ever per cage match. It is
per cage match. I disagree with that ranking. I recently did my own ranking on Rizura, rating Mayu's greatest matches of all time. It is not my seventh greatest Mayu match. I'm just saying that.
The fact that you put them in order is actually more impressive. I don't think I could ever order them. Because like I'd watch one and they'd be like, oh, but this is so good. Anyways.
It was fun, but it was tough.
Like, this is seventh. All three are in her top 10. That is what I'm hinting at here. That's kind of the reason I wanted to bring that into conversation. But if you want to witness this rivalry, you do need to watch this match. While you may see the second and third ranked where they are in her history, or in EO's history as well. I don't want to just think this is just the Mayu's history. For those wondering on EO's list, it is sixth, actually. So there you go. Which
that instantly tells you Mayu's match history is more impressive than EO's.
Yeah, which, I mean, if you listen to the show, you should know that already, but that's fine. but anyways, we can now continue forward.
I think when we're talking about like where this match falls and rankings, all of that, I referred to this in the rankings article I did. I look to this match as the Batman Begins of the trilogy. It's not as bombastic as the other two necessarily. It's a little bit more subdued, but it so perfectly establishes what's to come.
Yeah.
And it's so essential to that setup, and what it actually sets out to do is so perfect that I think maybe gets a little underrated because of that. You know, like, yes, the sequel is probably better. Yes, the Dark Knight.
This is very Dark Knight trilogy. This entire rivalry is very exact to that, I think.
Like, a lot of people go back and say, you know what, Batman Begins is actually underrated when looking at the grand scale of things. And I think that's what this May Gold match is to me. And what's important here is that this match is a match between two friends. They're fighting like rivals, but ultimately it's a match between two friends. And at the end of the match, they've fought hard. Mayu started off a little tentative because obviously she's, you know, going up against someone far stronger than her. She's trying to work out how best to deal with someone who knows her every move and all of that. But she comes really close to beating Io. She's put her best foot forward. She's impressed Io Shirai at the end of this. And Io takes a step back in the post-match comment. She says, one person I really want to say thank you to is Mayu Iwatani. We're Thunder Rock partners, but you're like my little sister, my cute little sister, but you brought it today, you little brat. Now, I think it's really important, like, looking at the wording of that. A, it shows how close the bond is, but it shows EO's mindset going in, which is important when we look at what happens moving forward here. EO wanted to see Mayu bring it because the gap between them over the years has been so big. But EO's worked with Mayu so much as part of Thunder Rock, they've been tagged champions here. She knows what Mayu is capable of because Mayu at her best has been in Thunder Rock. She has seen the best of Mayu Iwatani. It's just a matter of bringing it out all the time. Mayu brought it here at May Gold. Just the question now, does she bring it? Does this become the new normal or does she fall back to her old ways?
Right.
Unfortunately, in Io Shirai's mind, it would become the latter.
There is something beautiful about this rivalry because when it ends, it is supposed to be handing Mayu the keys to stardom as Io is supposed to be leaving. So in many ways, this feud is, I need you to get there. I need you to be at the level that I am, if not better, to carry stardom forward. And I think that's such a beautiful part of the story. And like you said, you kind of see it as it goes, right? You will see as we get to the turn, which everyone knows about, but we'll act like we don't. When we get to the turn of EO on Mayu, it brings... It forces Mayu to, okay, listen, she's no longer, you know, the one that's protecting me. That is over. And it's what makes the other two matches, like you said, if to take the Dark Knight into the conversation, it's what makes those two so special. It just elevates the game of Mayu and thus the match itself. Yeah, it's just... This first match, if you do go and watch it, which you should if you're listening to this episode.
Pause the episode, watch the match, come back.
Yes, you'll have a great appreciation for what these two were doing at the time, just as pro wrestlers. They were at such a high level, especially like you said, like, this match was like, this is what women's wrestling can be. Because, you know, outside of, what was this, 2016, right? Yes. You know.
It was starting. America was starting to realize.
America was kicking into gear. But these two are on another level. And I think that's the beauty of this feud, is you see how great wrestling can be. You know, Mayu still talks about it now, like why women's wrestling is so special and why she feels, you know, as the icon, she calls herself the icon of women's wrestling now for a reason. It's that she feels that they can tell stories and do things that other, you know, men can't. And I think that's so important. And again, you feel that through this feud.
Yeah.
Every step of the way, the story, the matches, the athleticism. You know, we're talking about Io Shirai here. Io Shirai, I think, is one of the most impressive pro wrestlers ever. Just, you know, she makes wrestling look so easy that her coasting is better than like 95% of professional wrestlers.
And this isn't her coasting.
No, she does not coast.
This is her when she's turning up that extra gear. This is literally, this time period to me is Io at her best.
Yeah.
This second red belt run, especially in the matches where she really wanted to turn it on, to me, this is peak Io Shirai. Yeah. If you've not really focused during this era for her, tune in, especially when you're getting Mayu Iwatani in 2016, where this is when it's really starting to click for her. And when she gets the right opponent, bam. It's a different Mayu to 2024. It's not a better Mayu, but against the right opponent, against the Io Shirai, there's something very special here.
I mean, Mayu's on a different universe these days, to be fair. Yes. So it's like unfair. But no, I know exactly. And the beauty of Mayu, and I always say this, like when we went back to that first show, our very first episode, or second episode, maybe Birth of Nova, you see, like it's as raw as it gets with Mayu, but you just see the little things that she turns into her greatness. And you see it here. You see the little things that she turns into what she is now, even. Mm-hmm. You know, she was it's crazy to think that in the midst of her greatest feud, she was far from a complete product. Yeah. And, you know, that's the conversation I have with the likes of, like, Utami now, for example, right? Utami's greatest feud is Utami versus Shuri. She was far from being the best Utami at that point, right? Mm-hmm. It's the best that take that step and take the perfect feud and grow from it. And, again, this is the perfect definition of that, I think, in pro wrestling history.
Well, funnily enough, we're talking Utami. Utami right now has had about the same amount of experience as Mayu's got around this time, the feud that we're talking about.
To be fair, Utami was a super rookie. Mayu was not.
It gives you an idea of maybe looking at trajectories. Like,
I got you.
We've got to be
so started. What you're saying is Utami's going to be even better in 5 years. That's what you're saying.
Well, there's reason to be excited. You know, I know it doesn't scale the same way. Mayu's a very special case.
Utami is like Utami's like growth, like her. If you were to like make a scale of how she grows, it's more on the EO scale. But I understand like what we're saying here, like in comparison. Yeah. I understand what we're you kind of turn
Utami to start busting out a moon stomp like EO used to do.
She doesn't need to do that. She just like throws people and then you know sticks her tongue out and it's fine.
The new rule.
It's a good gimmick.
Moving forward. So, like, we're talking about with Mayu maybe relaxing things a bit and not taking things too seriously. That's an important thing to note because a month later, Thunder Rock lose their tag titles. Oedo Tai beat them. Now, obviously, there was some heelish antics because it's Oedo Tai. They do their thing, but Mayu Iwatani is ultimately the one who takes the pinfall. Don't want to say she cost them the title, but she's the one who ultimately takes the fall. A few months after that, they lose the artist titles, also to Oedo Tai. Mayu Iwatani also maybe could be blamed, point fingers at that. So over the course of a couple of months, this invincible three daughters of stardom, this freedom outfit, you know, Mayu Iwatani, you think is, you know, all systems go, firing is better than ever.
Oh, I didn't get my cheap plug in.
Yeah, cheap plug away.
I actually did a review of Golden May over on my YouTube channel. I forgot, like a few months ago. So go check that out. I do actually plan to do all three of them eventually. I just, you know, got lazy. But continue.
What's the name of your YouTube channel?
Scott E. Wrestling. It's very easy. Very simple. I don't think there's many on there. There's three videos on there. One's Mayu versus EO from Golden May. The other is, I think it was Mayu versus Mina, the New Japan match, because I didn't have another way to review it. So I was like, I'll just do it here. And Mayu versus Kagetsu as well from Kagetsu.
I'm sensing a pattern here.
See, the funny thing is I stopped doing the videos because I didn't want to do another Mayu one. And then I was like, well, I don't want to do anything else right now. I was like, I kind of just want to watch Mayu matches. So I'm going back in time. Mm. But go check that out as well. I do plan to do all three. So if you want more of this content eventually, go check that out.
If you want a bit more of a deeper dive into that match, check that one out. And periodically check the video, the channel, in case he's done the other ones by this point, in case you're listening to this in the future.
Mm, yes. Good. Hey, good plug. Good. Thank you. Good plug. This is why we're podcast partners.
Yeah. We're a tag team. We're our own Thunder Rock. And a far inferior Thunder Rock. So the artist title is gone. The goddess title is gone. But they're entering the Goddess of Stardom Tag League. Now, obviously, they've had success here before. Thunder Rock, they know how to win this. You would expect them to do pretty well here. They're doing okay. Like, they've got a winning record, but things maybe aren't looking as smoothly as they should. The teamwork's not where it used to be. Entering the final night, they've got to win to advance.
Mm-hmm.
They should win in theory. Like, they're looking into a situation where they're facing a rookie team in the semifinals. Not just any rookie team, a rookie team that you guys might be semi-familiar with. JK Green, Momo Watanabe, Jungle Kyona. I think a team that we would both kind of favor if it was against just about any other duo other than Thunder Rock.
Yeah. It's very us. It's very Stardom Road pilled. However, there's nothing more Stardom Road pilled than Thunder Rock, so tough.
Yeah, it's like just the one team that they couldn't beat. Because you love Momo, I love Jungle, but we both love Thunder Rock. Mayu Iwatani passes up the hot tag here because here's the thing. Mayu's kind of realizing that she's letting the team down. She's sensing Io's disappointment. So instead of like taking it too easy, now she's trying to do too much. So she passes up a hot tag attempt, tries to regain the momentum by herself, and basically loses the opportunity to take control of the match as a team. And then Mayu tries to go for dragon suplex. Io goes for a drop kick. You know, how to hold the team, go for a drop kick, knock out there. Doesn't work. Momo moves out of the way. Io Shirai accidentally hits Mayu with the drop kick. The teamwork is not working here. They somehow manage to claw together a victory. They go through the final, but it's not working out. They need to just get together. They need to reconfigure. They need to work things out before they get through the final because they got passed against a couple of rookies, but the final is not going to be so easy because they've got to face a far more established team against Yoko Beato, Kairi Hojo. These two, they're established teams, former champions together. They go in, they're trying to make this work. The teamwork's still not quite there. This time, Mayu Iwatani actually accidentally catches Io with a super kick that was meant for Kairi. Still fighting, still trying to hang on. Mayu catches Kairi kind of in that dragon suplex situation. Io goes for a knockout blow, similar to the semi-final match. Kairi breaks free. But unlike last time where Io sort of has too much momentum and takes Mayu Iwatani out, this time she manages to pull a strike. So there's that kind of pause there where Mayu's lost Kairi, Io pulls the strike. Cool, teamwork's still there. Only it's not. Io, after that pause, goes, eh. Hits Mayu anyways. The Shoryuken kind of strike that she does. It's very clear here that was not an accidental strike. That was not a miscommunication. Thought the opponent was still there. She's decided to strike Mayu Iwatani. Mayu's a little bit dumbfounded here. Like she, yeah, I think she realizes what's going on, but in her mind just can't compute. Like Io wouldn't do that to her. She must have misread the situation. Maybe everything's moving too quickly and she thought, you know, Kairi's gotten away later than she realized. So she goes to try and tag Io back in and Io just drops off the apron. She walks away. Kairi and Yoko, they're confused. Like, this isn't the Io they know, but they've got a match. They want to be Goddess of Stardom tournament winners. So they finish the job on Mayu Iwatani. They win the match. They win the Goddess Tag League, but there's a bit of a sour note to the whole night, the whole sort of moment. This isn't like a happy, you know, celebratory kind of situation because this isn't happiness. Like, Thunder Rock, what's going on here? Io gets into the ring after the match. Mayu's shocked. She's confused. And then Io just spells it out for him. And this is, you know, quote word for word. This match, unfortunately, isn't on Stardom World at the moment. Great match. It's gone. This particular, the post-match comments and stuff, I found a while back just randomly, like it was on Reddit, like a Reddit video thing. I've saved that. I've put it up on YouTube. You can find it. Like if you go to the article that I wrote, I've got the video there. Still there for now. I don't know if it'll ever get deleted, but I saved the quote as well, just in case. And here's what she says. Early this year, you won the Cinderella tournament. Then you challenged me for the red belt. Okay, so far, so good. Then I beat you, and what did you do? I'm getting stronger, and you're getting weaker. What's wrong with you? When you challenged me for the red belt, your eyes were on fire. What about now? You need to work harder, you idiot. You're not carrying your weight in Thunder Rock, so I'll stand against you. I'm through with you. Today, Thunder Rock is finished. Io Shirai is leaving She's leaving Thunder Rock. She makes it clear to Kairi, I'm done with you as well. And she has words for Yoko Beato as well. But this moment, it's done. She's done with Mayu. She's sick of, quote-unquote, carrying her. She's doing her own thing. Now, later on, she introduces someone else and all of that. But specifically for this feud, for what we're talking about, this is kind of the breaking point. This is the moment where everything changes and the trajectory of the story takes a real turn.
Man, I remember watching this for the first time and I thought I was watching it live. It's heartbreaking. It's like, you know, it's like one of those things. It's the great wrestling turn where it's like, well, actually, and then they do it and it's like, no, no. Like I knew it was coming, but no, you know, and the promo was so perfect from Io because, you know, you could take it as just her turning on her because she got, you know, you're not holding up your side. I look at it as I want you to wake up. I want you to be greater. And the only way you're going to do that is if I oppose you. And we see that quote later in the second match where, you know, Io says, I'm going to be the wrestler that you want, that my Mayu Iwatani wants to surpass. And that's the beauty of this feud. When it kicks into gear after that match, by the way, again, great match. If you ever find it, have fun. I found it once upon a time. That was good enough for me. But it's the beauty of this story. And, you know, this also, of course, you see Queen's Quest form from here. You see stars, and you know, you stardom takes shape in many ways because of this. The stardom that you all know and love today, like faction wise, of course, not, you know, Io's not there, but you get my point. But it's so perfectly done. It's so perfectly done. It brings you into that second match at Year End Climax where it's now personal. It's now a rivalry. It went from we are tag partners to Mayu needing to overcome Io. And it's so perfect.
It's done so well because, and exactly what you say, like on the surface, it looks like Io's just kind of being very selfish and like, I'm sick of carrying you. I want to do my own thing. And even like in the formation of Queen's Quest, she talks about, I'm picking people now who can kind of carry themselves and are focused on building themselves up and have that drive. But like, as you sort of say, like as the story builds, you see like that's not actually the focus. All she wants to do is get Mayu to the point where she is able to get that fire inside. And this is almost like, in a way, Io's sacrificing her image for the sake of Mayu. Mm-hmm. Now, she's not really sacrificing her image because she looks badass in, especially early Queen's Quest. It's a very kind of badass look for her. Yeah, it's Io. She pulls off. But like, it's just that kind of concept of the, you know, heroic baby face going heel, doing what must be done. If I may quote, either die a hero or become the villain to do what has to be done here. And it works because Mayu, like in the moment, she's a crying mess. Like she doesn't take this well. Like even as Io's kind of calling her out, like, you know, what are you going to do? Mayu doesn't fire up in this moment. She's, you know, heads down, she's tearful, she's not kind of responding or anything.
Long burn.
Kairi's trying to cheer up and say, it's okay, you're doing well, you know, we're here for you. Which is hilarious in hindsight when, like, the Mayu Kairi feud at Historic Crossover happens and Mayu's like, I never liked you. I was friends with Io, I wasn't friends with you. And you look back at this moment, it's hilarious. But yeah, a couple of weeks later, you see Mayu like focus to Io really change. And in the preview tag matches they do at like Shinkiba and stuff, she's really fired up. She's approaching Io Shirai a lot differently. You know, and like she takes the fight to Io in that match with Momo Watanabe and maybe would have done stuff if Momo Watanabe doesn't go and turn on Mayu Iwatani and then join Queen's Quest as well. That betrayal doesn't really hit as hard because Momo wasn't really as attached to Mayu Iwatani, but just that kind of set the standard of, oh, everyone turns on Mayu Iwatani. That was kind of the start of the meme for a lot of people, Io and then Momo turning in the course of a couple of weeks. But it all builds to the year-end climax. You know, Mayu gets a kind of fluke roll-up pin on Io in the, you know, lead to year-end climax. So, ha ha ha, I can do it. Now I'm going to do it at year-end climax. And this match, very different to the first match. Obviously, like, the stakes are different. The alignments are very different. Is it a good match? Oh, is it a good match?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. hot take, arguably. No, it's one of the greatest matches of all time. That's what it is. No, that is not me sugarcoating it. That is me saying the truth. This match is 17 minutes long. It is It is the ultimate. It is. I can't say the ultimate Stardom main event anymore because Stardom main events are so different in like the bigger venues. This is the ultimate Cork and Hall Stardom match. Not main event, just match. The atmosphere, the importance, the story. This match is what Stardom is at its best. And I think for many fans who may have been longtime fans, maybe this is what they miss the most and have for the Bushiroad era is this. It is Io Shirai at her very fucking best. Emphasis needed because Io Shirai is otherworldly sometimes. This is one of those times. She is otherworldly. And Mayu Iwatani, you see her grow. The beauty of Mayu's trilogies and rivalries is that you see her grow within them. I always love to talk about the Takumi one because it's a two-match trilogy, right? You see her get absolutely destroyed. You see her get destroyed. I understand that. I'm just in the moment, okay? God. In the first match, she gets destroyed, right? The second match, she then becomes a killer. She learns from that. She is, I am going to destroy you back. And in this match, you see Mayu have some more confidence, but she's not there yet because Io's just on another level. That's just the facts, right? This is the match that, and like I said, this is the match that Io says, I am still the one that you need to surpass. You are not on my level. You're closer. You're closer. And this is the beauty of like the Starlight Kid Mayu thing, right? You see it every year that they ran it. And, you know, things happened last year, so it didn't run. But you saw it every year. It's the growth. It's what you take from. Mayu takes from her past. Mayu takes from this story to make other stories greater because she's been on that side. It's freaking unbelievable. It is incredible. Like we said with the first match, it can be on the short list of the best matches in Stardom history. This is a locked-in one of the best matches, arguably the best match in Stardom history. The shortest of lists, right? It is like, if there's five matches on this list, on that list, this is one of them. If there's three matches on that list, this is one of them. That's the conversation we're having here, folks. This feud's an all-timer for a reason, and it's because the middle one just brings it to another level that sets you up for Mayu's going to have her day. And when she does, it's going to be special. This might have not been it, but damn it, was she close.
I think you can make an argument that Mayu Iwatani at this point, December 2016, is good enough to beat Io Shirai in December 2016. The issue here is she overcompensates. May 2016, she's a little hesitant. She's a little unsure of herself. She doesn't fully believe in herself. She gets told, you don't have enough fire inside of you. So December 2016, she comes in too hot. She goes for killer blows from the very start. Io Shirai offers the handshake. She's trying to play mind games with her. She goes for dragon suplex off of that. She's looking for those killer blows from the start. And I think there's a fair call because she knows that maybe Io Shirai is the better wrestler. So she's going for the knockout blow from the start. Every chance she gets, she's going for the springboard poison rana, the two-stage dragons, all those, you know, apron dragon suplexes. She's looking for the killer blow. And she's telegraphing it so Io Shirai is able to counter her at key moments. And that's ultimately what comes to be her undoing. But Io, I think she realizes like she's unleashed a monster here. And once Mayu learns to control it, to, you know, bring it into line, that she can, you know, finally go to WWE. She can finally go and move forward with her career because this Mayu Iwatani is about ready to lead Stardom forward. This is a tremendous match. This is at the very worst top three all-time Stardom match for me. And I would probably put it top one, if I'm being honest. In preference, subjective stuff, it's probably my favorite Stardom match of all time. Definitely a little bit of bias because of the timing of it. And look, obviously Stardom outgrowing Kirk and Hall is a objectively good thing. Them being able to run arenas and put 3,000 people in Ryogoku Hall, that's a good thing for the business. But when you have a curtain hall that is jam-packed and you get the audible sound that's coming from a packed curtain hall versus the kind of drowned out ho-hum arena that can't quite get the sound proper, it just creates a very different atmosphere. And that packed curtain hall going wild for this kind of match is just a different beast. I absolutely adore this match. Obviously, like, if you are this far into this episode and you haven't watched this series yet, go and watch it. I have some slightly bad news for you. This is the one match of the trilogy not on Stardom World. it's crazy that it's not.
It's easy to
find.
The
good news, the good news of it not being on Stardom World is it is on YouTube. It's on Daily Motion. It's very easy to find. If you type in Io Shirai versus Mayu Iwatani, it pops up in full. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this and you don't have Stardom World, you can go find it. And as far as I'm concerned, until it goes up on Stardom World, it better not leave these streaming sites. I've got it downloaded. I'll re-upload it if it gets deleted. I don't give a damn. Because it needs to be readily available, whether it's on the official streaming services or not. It's too good a match to be lost media. Go and watch it. We're talking about legitimately, so it's one of the greatest Stardom matches of all time. And not just
no. Take Stardom out of it. Take Stardom out.
This is Stardom Road, so I'm focusing just purely within Stardom.
All right. Well, but I'll say it's one of the greatest matches of all time. Period.
Yes. Yes.
Period. If it's the greatest, greatest in Stardom history, it makes sense. But I just want to say that. Because there needs to be emphasis.
Of course.
It's just fantastic. It's fantastic. I'm gonna end up watching this. We didn't do a big rewatch for this because we weren't doing the match by match type series, right?
I've literally watched this trilogy multiple times in the past 2 or 3 months for multiple articles I've been writing lately.
I haven't, to be fair. However, I will be. That's the beauty of this conversation. It's gonna make me want to watch it.
Stardom Road watch along special episodes.
We can do that because it's on YouTube. I'm just saying. Anyways, go out of your way to see it. It sets up.
Yes.
If you don't want to watch all three, watch this one. You should watch all three because it's better if you watch all three. Period. It's like every match.
The stories
better.
Are self-contained, as I mentioned. So you can watch this and get an appreciation for what's going on.
Exactly. So just fantastic.
At the conclusion of this match, again, this is where it gets really interesting in what Scott was talking about. Io comes across as a real heel for the sort of this 1 to 2 month period. At the conclusion of the match, it's a very different kind of impression that she gives. And ultimately she says, as Scott mentioned, I want to keep being the wrestler that Mayu Iwatani wants to surpass. This is her focus. She wants to be the pinnacle, the litmus test for Mayu Iwatani. Now, after this match, you look at the timings of everything. So it happened. The first match was in May. Second match was in December. It feels like everything sort of should be building pretty quickly to the final match. Third match doesn't happen till June. And there is that kind of gap there where they're not interacting too much. Queen's Quest has sort of given time to develop properly. Io Shirai needs to sort of build herself up as attempts to be a heel. She becomes a tweener. The Io Shirai heel turn doesn't really connect with fans outside of the Mayu Iwatani story because she's just too popular. Like, her character was never going to work as a heel outside of the Mayu Iwatani story, I don't think. And they just kind of realize that and just make a tweener, and especially against Oedo Tai. Because, again, you got to look at the timeline. This is 2017. Oedo Tai is just about to become Golden Era Oedo Tai. This is when the faction stuff gets really fun and really interesting. So they kind of accept them, Queen's Quest, as the tweener faction. Mayu Iwatani just takes a step back, starts to build herself up until we get to June. And this is where, Mayu Iwatani, she goes and wins the white belt. Kari Hojo has another company to go to. She goes to join WWE. And then she wants to do what's never been done before, become the first ever wrestler to hold both the red and white belt simultaneously.
Notably, we were recording this on the day of that the second one was crowned a year ago. Just random thing. Kind of funny. Even though I don't recognize that one. But that's neither here nor there. We're getting into this third match now. Yes.
This one. Unless there's something you want to cover in between.
No, because there's something very special about this for Mayu. Mayu is getting handed the keys. Two-thirds of three of them is supposed to be leaving. Kairi's gone, out the door. Wonder of Stardom title won by Mayu. Io's next. And Io's rough. In rough shape going this match. Very rough shape. Her body is, beaten, battered, long title reign. Like you said, building Queen's Quest, doing all these different things at the same time. But the reason I love this match is not perfect, and sometimes it's not even pretty, but that's the reason I love it so much. In many ways, it's the perfect match for Mayu's career at this point to be crowned the double champion. Right, it you had the perfect match already. You had the beautiful match rating superstar 5-star match in this feud. You didn't need this to be that. You just needed this to be that moment. And I think this match is so great because it gets us there. Io struggles through this match sometimes. You can just see it. But she does everything in her power to get Mayu this moment. It's the beauty of their friendship. It's the beauty of their sisterhood in many ways. These two are, again, as close as can be. And when Mayu finally does it, it really does feel like that ultimate moment of like this was the perfect trilogy. It was like, I wouldn't change a thing about it. It is the crowning moment. It's Mayu finally beating Io Shirai, becoming World of Stardom champion for the first time. It's the beauty of Stardom. That's what this match is. It's, Stardom's history isn't perfect. It has many bumps and bruises along the way. But when you get that culmination of a story, it's always worth it, right? The journey is always almost as worth it. The culmination was just as worth it here. And, the post-match is so wonderful between these two. It's like, you finally did it. And again, it's so hard to watch Io during this match because she's literally put together by, tape. legitimately, she's put together by tape. But Mayu did a lot of the heavy lifting, and I think that's kind of the beauty of it, right? Mayu finally got to the point, I will take the lead here. I will be the one, because this is my time. And I think that's why I love this match so much. Again, the other two are very different, in terms of physical capabilities, in terms of, where the story was going. But this one was Mayu's match to win, and that just makes it all the more special. And it's incredible, again, that they did this in a year. Yep. When we watch it through, it feels so much longer. But it's not. It's just a year. Mm. It's a great year, though.
If you had told me that Io Shirai medically shouldn't have wrestled this match, I would absolutely believe you. Because there are times in this match, I'm glad, this is one of those matches I'm glad I couldn't watch live, because I would have been legitimately worried for her. Because it's a few times she rolls out of that ring and she's struggling to get back up, and you can tell she's not selling for the sake of the match. She's in rough shape. It's no surprise, after this match, she gets on the microphone afterwards and says, I'm going to take some time off. And she's gone for a month and a half. This is what happens when you're champion for a record amount of time and have been carrying the company on your back for a record amount of time. Like, this is, she's put in the hard yards and she's being held together by tape just to get through this match. And it's a difficult match to watch at times, I find. She does everything she can. And for, in saying that, like, there are times when, like, it's hard to watch, and then she'll just fire up and just be the old EO. And, like, you can tell, like, she's, you know, doing everything she can just to put these sequences together. And, you know, it's one of those kind of heroic efforts. And you're glad, like, you can watch it now in 2024 and know, like, she's fine. Like, she got through that. She took her time off. She came back. She got to WWE. She got to do her thing. She's still wrestling now, 8-9 years later. Like, it's a happy story. This isn't one of those kind of situations where she went too far and paid for it. But, you know, it would have been a real shame if they couldn't tell this story. Like, if this trilogy had to end on a, Io had to vacate the title and Maya had to win through some other means, which would have been the alternative. As you said, like, Io controlled the first two matches, and then when it came time, Mayu ran this match. She was in control. Io was struggling. There was times when it looked like she could win, but Mayu ran this match. She dominated. She proved that, sure, like, maybe the cards were in her favor this time. Io came in, she was injured. She was, you know, champion for a record amount of time, so she wasn't 100% healthy, but, yeah. You play the hand that's dealt, and she had the right cards at this time. And you know, she didn't have the right cards in May. She didn't have the right cards in December. She had them this time, and she became champion. And, yeah, it's the post-match is so special and so fitting because it's such an emotional moment for both of them. They can finally be friendly together again because the story is done. But there's just enough, like, awkward clumsiness at the befitting of a Mayu championship moment. They couldn't put the red belt on her because, like, it feels like she's almost too skinny. The belt wouldn't go around her. And they're just trying to wait for it to go on and they're standing there awkwardly. It's just, this emotional moment. And then it's just awkward pause and everyone's laughing. And, perfectly. It couldn't be a more Mayu Iwatani moment, which means it couldn't be a more Stardom moment than this sort of point in June. 2017. Yeah, it's, again, I hate to go back to this reference because it's accidental. It's The Dark Knight Rises. There's some serious problems with it. There's some problems with it, but the good that's there is still really, really good. Yeah. Is it as good as the other two? According to Cage Match, it is. I'm actually shocked how high this is rated because of some of the situations with it. For me, it's the weakest of the trilogy, but the moment, like that final moment, The victory, I think, really carries it.
Moments carry matches.
Yeah. And I guess seeing Bruce Wayne sipping his cup of tea with Alfred at the end as Mayu Iwatani holding both championships, it's a damn fine moment. It really is. And it's the perfect cap to a perfect trilogy in a lot of ways. It really is.
It is. I like I said, I wouldn't change anything about this trilogy, about this story. Even with EO hurt in the end, it's like I wouldn't change anything about it because you got to see Mayu in control and Mayu dominating the match. And like, this is clearly her match to win. You know, her winning the match is one of the great moments I've watched, you know, just that entire experience. It's just so perfect. It's so perfect because it's imperfect, you know. It's so perfect because it's like you said, it's Mayu. Nothing's supposed to be perfect with Mayu. That's the beauty of Mayu. That's the beauty of her story. That's the beauty of who she is as a wrestler. And you know, her first World of Stardom title reign wasn't perfect. That's how it goes.
No, it was not.
But that's only why we have
handed the reins.
You know, there's another red. You know, she ended up winning the red belt again. I'd argue there's another red belt for her to win someday, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, her moments, you know, it's funny to go back to this because of how far she's gone, how far Io's gone, right? We're sitting in a year where Mayu had a movie come out about her and she's the IWGP Women's Champion, the longest reigning. She's defended it. She won it from Mercedes Moné. She's defended it against Sari and Shuri and all these greats, while Io Shirai defended a WWE World Championship at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool what these two ended up doing after that. After that trilogy.
I mean, the crazy thing is Io didn't go to WWE after this moment, which was the plan. Like, she was meant to drop the title to Io, and she was going to go to WWE.
Yeah.
They balked it. I think it was the heart or the neck. I've heard both things. She comes back for a year.
Has another great title reign.
Has a white belt title reign, because Yoko Beto wins the belt from Mayu, and she retires. Mayu gets injured. Io's like, okay, time for me to save Stardom one last time. And it sets up another future ace in Momo Watanabe before she leaves.
Yeah, it's the beauty of this feud. There's so many things you can take from it. Getsu
stick around, which sets up another important title reign. And Getsu then helps Mayu once more take the reigns. Like, it's Io does so much for this company behind the scenes here.
On accident. To be fair, let's not act like she did it on purpose. She did after, once, you know, it was like, oh, you actually can't go right now. Oh, okay. But it's so much fun to look back on this story. I don't mean to be that guy, but it kind of makes me sad with current wrestling sometimes. Just because, like, nothing has been as good as this for a while, at least for me. You know, I love the many things that are happening. You know, Joshi's very exciting right now, right? We're in the age of Marigold. We're in the age of whatever Stardom is on its way to becoming. We are, you know, it's a more exciting time. You know, we got past the Stardom's top dog era, right? Stardom exploded. They're now a known product. They're worldwide now, but, you know, there's so much more to do and so much more to see. And, you know, if rumors play true, if Rossi gets his way, who knows? Maybe we'll see right things. And this isn't the last time we see them feud, you know?
This story was very much a perfect storm. It was the right people at the right time when Stardom needed them. And in many ways, you could argue maybe Stardom coming into that situation right now, where there's a bit of a, you know, obviously they lost several big name talents and there's an opening there. They're looking to kind of reestablish themselves with some stories. So if the right sort of things fall into place, but, like, you couldn't have told that story in any other point in time.
Mm-mm.
If they tried to tell it in 2015, even that would have been too early for my 2015. I don't think she was ready even then. Any later, then you've got Io and Kairi leaving already, and it's just getting a bit messy. 2018, 2019 with different people, it doesn't work because you need the connection that Io and Mayu had. It's just such a perfect storm with the right people in the right time and the right level of talent to tell a story this perfect and have the patience to wait. Because you look, like, this is a full year waiting to pull the trigger on Mayu Iwatani in this situation. Would have been very easy to wait until December to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been, like, very easy to do it in May after she won the Cinderella tournament the second time. Like, there's a lot of patience there. Have you seen the internet in 2024? Could you imagine how they would have reacted in December when Mayu lost that match?
Man, people want to start.
Io Shirai's had the championship for too long. Mayu Iwatani's never winning the red belt. I'm going to watch Ice Ribbon. I think they're still around back then.
There's multiple, like, stories and matches you can point to now that people are just like, you know, let's get to it. Or not now, but in the past couple of years, right? Yeah. It's like, let's get to it. Let's get to the end. It's like, no, the beauty is telling the story. And like you said, this was the perfect storm. Literally had to happen this way. Like, one slip up. You know, maybe Io's gone. You know, maybe
If they waited another month, Io might not have been able to do the match.
Exactly. So it was the perfect storm. It was the perfect told story. Like we said, I think it's the best story told in Stardom's history. I don't know. I think it's the Stardom experience, start to finish.
Mm.
Yeah. It's what makes
that being said, when I complain about certain wrestlers not winning the title when I think they should, completely different matter to what I was just talking about. I know when it's too late to pull the trigger. Trust me on that.
There are times where it's too late to pull the trigger. That's wrestling history, man. You know, it's like
I sounded like I was very patient, and yeah, I know I'm not always patient.
Trent's not patient at all, guys. Don't think he's patient.
I know about wrestlers having to wait for titles that never come to them.
Yeah, well, some people just don't deserve them. I'm not saying who, not pointing fingers.
You don't have to say who.
I don't have to say who.
That's a shotgun blast. There's multiple people you can.
And some people get titles that they shouldn't have. You know, that's just what happens. I'm not going to point fingers. I'm not going to name names. It just happens. But this story that we talked about today, perfect story. Perfectly executed. I see you drinking your water on purpose like that. We good? We good here? Before we get ourselves in trouble? you know, it's kind of like dodging bullets here, like before you know people start to assume. I'm not gonna sit here and name names. That's not something I would do ever on a podcast. I would never name names of people who are undeserving or maybe should have got title matches. You know, I would never do that. I'm not gonna because we're ending the show here. Before we let the world know, and by the way, like Trent said, you can watch first and third match on Stardom World. Go do that. And you can just type into Google Io Shirai, Mayu Iwatani. It'll pop up. You can do that. You can type in Io Shirai versus Mayu Iwatani. You can type in Io Shirai, Mayu Iwatani, Iron Climax. It's going to pop up. It's on every possible free video place. It's good.
The other matches probably are too, but we're not condoning that because there is a proper way to find the other matches.
Yeah. You can go on YouTube, go on Daily Motion, like you said. Make sure you watch them. That's the beauty of the show. Yes. You get to go back and watch cool stuff. Next time, we're not going to lead you on to watch cool stuff. So sorry. I guess we kind of do.
We'll mention cool stuff, but it's not as focused.
Yeah. Before we get to that, Trent, hit them with the plugs.
We got a lot of plugs today.
Oh, a lot of plugs.
Yeah. I've been a busy boy while you've been coughing.
You've been a pluggy plug.
Yeah, I've been. There's no water in my
house. You've been plugging away.
Plugged up. So over at Razura, at my new home for writing at Joshi, I've got multiple new articles. And because over at Razura, it's been the month of the month of May.
I see what you did there.
It's been all focused on Mayu Iwatani over in the month of May at Razura. I've had two articles drop in between these episodes. So the first article I had drop was all about Mayu Iwatani's second red belt run, which we very, very briefly kind of allude to in this episode, looking at how important that reign was and how much that kind of had to shift and change. So she, you know, wins the belt and everything's all hunky-dory, Bushiroad's taking over, record figures and things, and then COVID and disaster, and she has to kind of, you know, right the ship in the storm and all of that. So deep dive into all of that and look at everything she kind of had to deal with there. And then the second article, which I've kind of alluded to quite heavily, look at that, is ranking Mayu Iwatani's greatest matches, the 10 greatest matches. And as I kind of mentioned, I do put them in my order. So I do specify this is my personal opinion, the order ranked from 10 to 1. If you agree with it, fantastic. You're a very smart person. If you disagree with it, fantastic. Tell me how wrong I am. I'm sure you will. Whether you agree with it or not.
Trent's wrong a lot. Trent can be wrong a lot.
Yeah, I disagree.
This is a good list, though. This is a good list.
Yeah, I think so. It was a really fun article to research. I will say that. I got to watch a lot of Mayu Iwatani.
I think my favorite part is that you put two matches from this year on it, and they're in the top three.
Look, I feel it's justified.
I'm not going to fight it. I actually am going to go back and rewatch one this week. It may be between my two favorite wrestlers because I feel like it, but it's a great list. Everyone should go check it out. It's on Rezera at ResuraMag.com. Everyone go check it out. And by the way, if you want to learn more about the Mayu Iwatani Io Shirai story, you can go over to WrestleIn.com. Becoming the Icon, Mayu Iwatani versus Io Shirai by Trent Brewer. That's a good place to go check it out. You'll probably see a lot of similarities between this episode and the article, but that's why we plugged it at the end.
There's different focuses. Like, there's a lot that I cover in. There's a lot of history-based stuff. There's a lot of setting the scene in that we didn't do here,
which is very helpful.
We go a lot more depth into the matches on this episode than we do on that. Because I think talking about matches back and forth is a lot better than just me talking about, like, moves in written form. I find that very boring to read.
Absolutely.
I just got to say, here's the stuff that kind of happened.
One year as champs, apart from me. That pops me in the graphics. It's 1 year as champs. So go check all that out for me. Did you do your social?
At One Up Culture.
Thank you. I didn't think you did, but I was like, didn't you? For me, let's see. What do I got going on? Nothing. Follow me at Scott E Wrestling on Twitter as always. Let's see. What do we got? I've had interviews in the past couple weeks with the likes of Tommy Hayashishita, Miku Ono, who may be your new favorite wrestler if you're watching Marigold. Oh, and you may have heard of her, Sari. Pretty cool. That was an interview where she called out on 75 different people. That's what she does in these interviews. Just what she does. She kind of told, you know, for example, a little preview. She pretty much told Mike Iwata she wasn't a champion worth facing. I was like, okay, all right. A little personal. She was like, if Hashimoto was champion, it'd be a different story. I was like, okay. She also talked about, you know, her relationship with Natsupoi for the stardom interest and, you know, potentially facing best friends. She broke my heart on that one when she said she wanted a team with Mayu Iwatani. And
I felt so bad. It's like, it was basically like, if Mayu had asked me, I would have said yes.
Yeah.
And they might have won that match.
This is also true. If you know me, those are my two favorite wrestlers. So it's like, it was like we just ripped my heart out in the interview. I was like, oh my God, it was right there. And you know, we don't have much time to run that match. So she said, I'll team with Natsupoi then if I have to. Which is, of course, her best friend.
So definitely my own tag team with Natsupoi and Hookers.
Exactly. So check that out. Check those interviews out. You can check out Ring Post Radio every Sunday morning. We did do an AEW review. Doing pretty well. I don't remember if I liked the show or not because I recorded it later than this somehow. I started it like at this time that we're recording now. Think about that trick.
Oof.
That's how late that show ended.
Are you recording with an American on that one?
Yeah, it's just the pay-per-view didn't end till like this time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Pain. You can check out the 5-Star Joshi Show every single week. Last week we had Margot Fields Forever review. That's also up on YouTube. We also reviewed Stardom Flash of Champions. I shared my problems with current Stardom. If that interests you, you know, there's problems. And then written wise, I did have a Margot Fields Forever written review. I will definitely have one for the next Korakuen as well, which is already looking pretty good. And I'll have one for whatever Stardom the Conversion is over on WrestlePurist.com. I don't know what the hell that means. I'm terrified what Stardom the Conversion means, but that's something to look forward to. And maybe I'll write something up some other day about something. But, you know, I do have an article in mind. So I have an article in mind, but it's more like I want to write about Sari's 2024. So I'm just going to start it. And then as time goes on, I'll have it done by the time the year comes.
You don't want to finish it in June when there's six more months to.
Yeah, there's six more months to, you know. I'll have a conversation real quick. Wrestler of the Year is a fun conversation, right? Always fun. And then there's, you know, Mayu and Sari that just is what if we killed the conversation? And at one point, I was like, oh, it looks like Mayu's going to, you know, kind of run away with this. And then Sari started getting more and more matches. I was like, oh, well, now it's not fair.
I was thinking, like, everyone's talking about Sari. It's like, are we forgetting how good Mayu's year has been? And then I was remembering, hang on, yeah, Sari's, like, having so many more opportunities. And I was like, look, maybe depending on the five-star format, she might claw it back. But right now kind of a Saree race.
This is the reason it's scary, because Saree announced two Sareeisms and she's fighting Julia.
Yeah.
That's three guarantees. You know?
Sukaban.
All right, chill out. anyways, our next episode, this is where we ultimately want to get to. Our next episode, we're going back to tier lists. I know everyone loved the tier list. People got a little mad at us with the tier list, but I digress. It was true. It was true. Starlight Kid's placement was true. And I will take that to the I'm not going to take that to the grave. It's not that deep. But I will take it with me because it was correct. Okay. And we are going to do another one.
I'm surprised you're the one jumping on that grenade, because I think I was the one who first suggested that ranking too.
You know, that's the type of podcast partner I am. Willing to take. Yeah. By the way, our beginner's guide to Stardom 2024 did so well. It's really sad how much changed within a day. but hey, people keep listening to it.
Anyway. Just think, like, that did so well, like, when it was only relevant for a day. If we do one that's relevant for a week, like, we're going to be so popular.
We're going to be, I know. Well, wait till 2025. We're not doing another one till then. Anyways, so the first time we did a Stardom Roster 2023 tier list, we thought, let's do another one, because I think the video aspect of that, it's very fun for everyone. And we said, what can we do that isn't the roster grade, which is going to be a recurring thing. And Trent,
we're only doing that at the start of a year. We're not doing every 6 months.
We're not. No. Okay, everyone, Mayu's S tier. Everyone else doesn't matter. There you go. Anyways, not to get off track, but we will be tier ranking the red belt reigns in Stardom history. So, yes, that includes both of Io's reigns, includes both of Mayu's reigns. It does not. Tough. You know, it's one's at the top, one, you know, woof. Might have to be a not applicable. Anyways, and then of course we will probably not include Micah because she's in the middle.
Unless she loses it between now and then, because like we want to factor in the full reign. Because even though like she's had it for a while, you've got to factor in like the full course title reign. Yeah. Because like some reigns start off weak and finish really strong, and like that could be her, or she might have a really weak second half of the reign. Like, got to judge it on its full merits.
She's off to a start. One of the starts of all time. Anyways, that's the next episode to look forward to. So if you're interested in the video version, it'll be up. You can also always listen to the podcast version anywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, that'll still work. It's just less interest. Yeah, less interesting. It's fun.
Reactions are fun for those. When me and Trent I don't know if we'll really fight over any of them, truthfully. I don't think there's one that like we're like, oh, this was bad. And, yeah, I think we'll be fine.
I don't think there'll be drastic arguments. It's more like, you know, placements in one spot or one reign is here versus here.
It'll be like fighting between. Pedantic. Yeah. Yeah, but you're just going to have to wait and see. We'll be recording that one soon. So that'll be out in 2 weeks. We're back on track now. So don't worry. We're doing it back on the bi-weekly schedule. So for Trent, I'm Scott. Until next time, this was the Stardom Road Podcast right here on the Countout Podcast Network. See ya.
This has been a Countout Podcast. Every year, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame receives a new crop of nominees, and a few of those wrestlers are added for the very first time. Welcome to The Ballot, a brand new podcast on the Countout Network dissecting the pro wrestling careers of these first-time nominees on the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame Ballot. This is a place where the conversations begin on whether or not these newbies are worthy of being considered true Hall of Famers. Join me, Ryan Knightsey, as I sit down with a guest every month and discuss if a wrestler has the skills, the stardom, and the significance to be considered one of the greats. Subscribe to The Ballot wherever you get podcasts, and follow along to learn with me about the greatness of professional wrestling. Please enjoy the show.